The Lion and the Tigers. Bir majbu koni goni finish their part. The Lion and the Tigers, how to lead the student with the actual instructions, how to rely on the teachers, the route of the path, somewhat elaborate explanation for developing certain knowledge, etc. Now we are down here, last one is called summary of meaning of the previous five parts. This was summarizing in the Yendin Shigirma by Lama Tsongkhapa, fundamental foundation of the all good quality, which is, you know, we do these things once while in Sunday classes. It says foundation of the all good qualities is kind, precious, pure guru. Correct develop to the him is the correct. Correct devotion to him is the root of the path. Clearly seeing this and applying great effort, please bless me to rely upon him with a great respect. Let me repeat. The foundation of all good quality is kind and perfect pure guru. Devotion to him is root of the path. By clearly seeing this and applying great effort, please bless me to rely upon him with correct respect. Which is lot time, you know, Western people thinking Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism is called known as Lamanism. But this case, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, you're forced to be worship or your lama or a guru, doesn't mean that. Means is that you found him right teacher and stick with his or her guidance, with a fully qualified teacher and a qualified student is very important foundation. Without that, you know, individually, a student or himself would be difficult to guide with a, you know, we have a lot of afflictive emotions. So I have to have a teacher or her or himself have to have also, you know, qualifications. Shinya Tua Shiva, Nyana Shiva, as we discussed earlier time, Shinya Tulua means those who has a certain bowels. Shiva means those who has some level of the understanding of the Shamatha meditation. Nyana Shiva, you know, master or teacher who has some quality of generating an intensive academic learning and developing loving compassion. Yundian Lhagwa, you know, teacher have to have a better quality, better and more understanding than students. You know, so in the student side, you know, sincere devotions, dedications, and those are, you know, also my training. My training, which is, it means to understand if you see a false truth that your master or teacher, true understanding is that is some level understanding my own karmic view. Those what have been my training is in general level. That's what I'm saying is those are in general. So it's very important. And then then whether you have right guidance, or right master or teacher, then student side, then it call, this call in high learnings, learning of the wisdom, the three type wisdoms, wisdom of hearing, wisdom of the, you know, thinking or develop, and wisdom of the meditation, one lead to one. And you have to hear first. Then not just for hear or read, also whatever you hear, whatever you observing, is you in, you analyze yourself, investigate it, analyze it thoroughly with the logic, syllogism. Then you become confident, matters of what you've been studying, and then you meditate on it. It's not other way around. That's what it means, you know. And very important, and that's how very important. Sometimes this also known as a grounded, and finding right teacher in the right time, and you know, is very foundation of a ground. Lamgitsawa shenyete metsu, and Lamrim often discuss about it. Lamgitsawa, you know, is the root of the path. Is petition to founding right guru, the root of path, and which is understandable, and that's what I mean by that. Okay, back to 91, summarization in here, F. Okay, Bob, you can read through this. Summary of 91.
Summary of the meaning of the previous five parts. Thus you must also understand, as explained above, the instruction that is renowned as Guru Yoga. Yet you will get nowhere by training in an object of meditation for just a single session. When you practice a teaching from the heart, you must rely for a long time on an excellent teacher who guides you accurately. Moreover, it is as Chegawa said, when relying on the guru, there is the chance that you might give up your guru. So, if you rely without knowing how, you will not profit, but lose.
Okay. And Guru Yoga, which is means, and to see, and fundamental Guru Yoga means is it. Often, you know, Tibetans emphasize that all the time. We just, you know, chanting, you know, minutes ago, you know, that's called Guru Yoga practice. Guru Yoga means you pounding like this, you know, center of the image called Tsongkhapa. And Tsongkhapa, the heart of Tsongkhapa is the Buddha and in Shakyamuni. His heart has a Vajradhara. Vajradhara heart has a cerebral of the Vajradhara. And then surrounding the left and right side of the image, those shows the lineage. And it's, that's what it means in our founding guru is, not only you founding radical teacher, make sure teacher has this, you know, authentic lineage that passed down from unbrokenly and generation by generations. That's very important. You know, you often your religion was, you know, someone picked up overnight, created religion is not make sense, and difficult to sometimes is that's going to lead a lot of students to wrong direction. So it's in this case, you know, particularly you know, Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, that's really important, and so. To see as a like Lama Tsongkhapa or your guru as you see, even the Buddha appears around you with our ability, with our understanding, with our lifestyle, with our disposition or affiliative emotion, Buddha cannot be subdued as much as a teacher can. So those things you can see as my side, not just for other side's perfect too, also, you know, my side, you know, student side, and I'm as this position, I'm very fortunate to have these things in comparison with it. And they are surrounding many human beings on this earth. And a lot of those are engaging negative but nothing. Comparison meaning of those. And then comparison with it, what I have, what I receive, what I'm teaching, what I'm studying, that's the ultimately what lead me to be happy, enlightened. So those things are you thinking as a quality of the, you know, having right guru or right master, it helps, you know, your minds, you know, continually remain within the your choosing guru or choosing master. And those are, you know, fundamentally very important. And mind training is very important. As ordinary human being, we can see ourselves as the ability to emotion. You know, you often see things appear as our mind as disturbing, but ultimately not necessary that way. It's a mind can train to transform negative to the positive, and positive to the negative. So mind training is the very important, and not only matters of the stick with it in that kind of guru or teacher. In the daily life, mind training is very important. Without that, many things, you know, our lives are upside down. They can challenge our mind, our life. Not that easy, because, you know, we have a fully loaded misconception of the attachment, anger, hatred, jealousy, attack, you know, and wrong views, and, you know, shame, guilt, ill will, all those things are loaded. It's easy to lead us ourselves into, you know, drawback. Let's go, let's continue a little more. Let's see, you want to read it? Okay. Therefore,
these topics concerning reliance on the teacher are clearly the foundation of our deepest aspiration, which is more important than anything else. Consequently, I have taken citations from uncorrupted scriptures and their commentaries, which are easy to understand as well as inspiring, and I have given a general overview that is adorned with the sayings of excellent persons who are engaged in the meaning of the scriptures. Understand this in detail from other sources. Our afflictions are extremely coarse. Some listen to the teachings given by many teachers. They do not know how to rely on the guru, and if they know how, they do not do it. Therefore, they will incur immeasurable misdeeds that are related to their improper reliance on the guru. Moreover, they will find it difficult to develop an awareness of practices such as confession of former wrongdoings and restraint from future wrongdoing. Thus, after you have understood the benefits and faults as previously explained, reflect on them repeatedly. Those whose practice of relying on the teacher was improper in previous lives should achieve an attitude of confession and restraint from the depths of their hearts. Exert yourself in the practice of those teachings for which you are suited as a recipient, and repeatedly contemplate the complete qualifications of your teacher. Make many aspirational prayers and accumulate the collections of merit and sublime wisdom as causes for having such a teacher to look after you until you attain enlightenment. Once you have done this, you will quickly become like the conqueror's child, Sataprarudita, who had perfect courage, and the youthful Sudhana, who knew no limit in his search for teachers.
Sataprarudita, and he was the known as, you know, Tibetan known as Dagdung. All the time I love to read in Dagdung stories, and I have I think I got a book there too. And Tao Te Mo stories. Tao Te Mo was the Buddhist Baba who was searching master. He had 500 disciples in females. 500 in females, you know, within himself. Tao Te Mo means Bodhisattva, literally means tears all the time, you know, with the love and compassion. Tao Te Mo was seeking his teacher. And he finally found his master, you know, following with the 500 female and his students. And finally found his teacher, and then called Chöpa, was his teacher. Chöpa was pounded, you know, as his teacher, so he began to circumambulating to, you know, his masters with the one leg, and you know, circumambulated day by day, circumambulated respect. Well, he was the actual teaching time, even he wants to throw water to dust it out, but cannot pound the water, he step on himself, blood, to take out the dust is around. And so, and that's Chöpa, or, you know, Sada Pararudita, and is well known in textbook, and for that, for Chanjusama Tadmo. Like I say, you know, sometimes we read this, you know, story of the, you know, Chanjusama Bodhisattva, and his stories really, you know, really remarkable. Someone can dedicate for that, for benefit for others, or maybe teaching, seeking for teachings. So at the end, like I said early time, and in pounding root guru is the very difficult. Right kind of guru is very important, very difficult. Then, like this one saying, it is the, you know, with our reflective emotion, let me say, you found a good teacher, perfect master. Then you begin to see, suspecting his or her leading you wrong teachings. How you can do that? You perfectly fine with your logical, you know, understanding, understood completely wrong, and it doesn't mean you don't follow their teaching. Yet at the same time, you have to be very careful to not to judge it. Based on that, you're misleading. Those what they mean by early time, I talk about here is, you know, careful to my train to stick with that teacher, very important. Pounding right teacher is very important, and very difficult. Very difficult. Number one is very difficult. Second is very difficult to stick with it. And the third one is our mind is too much loaded misconception all the time with sidetracks. As we said all the time, lazy, postponing, procrastinating, or simply negating. Those are lazy, are us to distance within the what fundamentally what, you know, mean to us, and you know, those are very important. Okay, any questions? And it's degenerating, you know, time. As the United States, you know, even you see a lot of teachers out there, a lot of masters, Tibetan or Westerners, you know. And most important part is Tibetan consideration, of course, not just for oral lineage that transmitted from teacher to teacher. Also, in a living exponential lineage is very important. Living exponential lineage is very important. And, you know, very, very important. And in the world that we're living in, difficult to found that kind of lineage masters. And that you can found a lot of, invite a lot of teachers can teach you as Tibetan or a lot of Westerners. Fundamentally, you really don't know this or sure he has those lineage or not. It's not about just sure he, well, makes sense, sure he's teaching me. And it's more than that. More than that, don't have this, you know, heavy or deep down meaningful. Without that, and less benefit as a long-term matters, and very difficult. That's the most important part, and in the pounding, not just for someone as a knowledge or teacher, also make sure and his or her lineage is comes down to through from like Tsongkhapa or from Buddha to the unbroken lineage that's transmission to us. That's very important. And like I said, the knowledge, there are many knowledges. You can learn from the street, you can learn from books, and you can learn from masters. It's big differences. And learning for a book knowledge is not much going to benefit. And within yourself, maybe you have full of knowledge, you have full of understanding. Well, I know this and that things, and they come down to application level, difficult. Because a lot of those things are lacking, you know, and this, experiential transmissions, you know. Yet you have a full understanding of the knowledge matters. Academic level, but you don't have an obligation level. You don't know how to obligate day by day, how to live, how to apply, you know, what struggles, arise, how to antidote or take remedy within the day by day. Those things are very difficult, and so it's.
Geshe-la, in the monastery, would you have different teachers that would teach different things?
No.
You had one teacher?
Yeah. Monastery is not going to suggest you to whom you go to listen and teaching. No.
They don't?
No. It's not like here, Here, just for academic, just education, That's beyond that, don't care. Monastery system is they build on your life is depends on that person spiritually, not academic level. Spiritually, your life is depends on you stick with that person. So monastery stay away from that. We're not responsible to whom you go follow with what master is. It's up to you. Not monastery is not involved with it. Sometimes then new student arrived and teacher is going to. Each student has as a teachers, and a teacher that, kind of like advisors. And they can advise students to whom they can go, teaching matters, and they advise to it. Then as soon as they got there, they're stuck with that person in their life, not like here, that's big differences. And devote, dedicate. And the teacher side is fully compassion, 100% volunteer without any kind of, side benefit for her or himself. No.
So they don't shop around for teachers?
No.
You get what's there?
Yeah. Not there. Or you can shop around. Of course, your master is advisor can advise you. It's up to you to take that power, that teacher or master or not. Not like here. It's become like academic level as United States, then they will reduce tremendously relationship with the teacher student is. And, you know, tremendously the loss of respect. And don't have a, you know bonding with the student, you know, teacher student relationships. And don't have that kind of level. It's I can see going toward that kind of direction. That's the not really good direction. Not really good direction. And not really good direction. And then those things are, like I said, you need to, someone has experience, been through there. And so, monastery is going to provide you food. Monastery put you in a system. You are in system of the monastery, that's all. You are already signed up. You are in signed up, which means your system of the program means you follow their system. Mm-hmm. It's up to you. Nobody going to force you to do so. Mm-hmm. If you sign up within their system, then you need to follow within that system. Without that, you're going to get punished. That's a monastery system. And up to administrators, to abbots, to cooks, to everybody's a volunteer. Nobody paid to do so. None of them pay for. I was talking with one of my friend. He is in the monastery's guest house. I was telling about him. He says, "Angela, it was a work a long time ago. People has a good faith on it. It's the 21st century. I don't think this is going to last too long." And if that happens, monastery is not, right now monastery don't have a pressure for the salary for teachers. No. But you get that level, monastery has other pressure how you can provide for salary for teachers. Then student can see, teachers had to pay, he got to pay for teachers. Then he's responsible. And my responsible is a tendency keep up my good grade. That's my responsible. That's you got a lot of, become like here. Mm-hmm. That's the not good direction.
Because
mm-hmm.
then the teacher is working for money.
Sort of
says
exactly.
Not, that's
exactly.
Not a good thing.
It's become like that. Then that's often you see you know that. You sign up with a tenure track, you barely show up in the classroom.
Yeah, not just
right.
That's the norm.
Yeah. You hire your assistant graduate student.
Right.
99% of the graduate students are going to teach students.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What are you going to get most of those out of it?
Yeah.
I've seen that all the time in the U.A. I've seen that in the U.A. all the time. And that's the... and then, like I say, for that reason, this kind of, system is, it works, since you check that master is your lifelong benefit, not only lifelong, you're talking about enlightenment,
mm-hmm.
Buddhahood. He is the responsible take me in enlightened Buddhahood. And that's a huge and huge responsibilities. So that makes us both has a huge responsibilities. And that's the biggest part. So that therefore they stick with that. And then so here you don't have that. You got A plus, that's all you need. Yeah, that you don't
care. Get out of my face,
yeah. Yeah, get out of my way. And then beyond that, you don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big differences. Big differences. And the teacher side lost tremendously attention with the students. You don't have a huge, they're not taking responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see, I have maybe 30, 40 students in a sitting classroom. You barely show up, you're not thinking about what the life of the students. just for you're going to get paid, that's all you need. That's the mess. That you create a mess. You are the one thing yourself, but you mess up with it. 30, 40 people's time and money and life is messed up with it. That's not good. So totally in a lack of the responsibilities and sin there all the time. And you also see that problem, but it's very little they can do. Very little they can do. And, you know, that's how it is. You know, when a university is going to hire you, you know, me versus a young guy are going to seeking one job, young guy is going to get a job more likely than me, because looking here, you're going to get sick, one get sick, you're going to stick with us. There's all guys going to get sick very soon. You know, I'm more concerned on those things, not about students.
You'll cost our health insurance.
Yeah, cost our health insurance. Those concerns. Yeah. Not about, you know, academic level as students, what kids can learn, how much he's out of background. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy's very knowledgeable, you know, good to have it. No, you don't have that kind of system. That's difficult, very difficult.
Well, how many students will a teacher have in the monastery? Can they, thousands? Or
yeah, yeah, can be thousands. Can be thousands, yeah.
Wow.
Can be thousands.
So Geshe-la, in respect of the teacher in the West now, I mean, with teaching here, what would be the best way to develop that now, here?
It's like I said, system is not used to, you know, people have particularly Americans have too much mind independent, and their system that developed. And they, and it really interesting is somehow egos get into between teacher and student, and students they learn a little bit, they think they know everything behind the teacher. And you know, that's not the case. No case is this kind of system. And even teacher, the student become best of the, much better than a teacher, still thinking teacher is the best, better than me. You know, you don't have this, you know, system here, don't have that. It's typical, you know, culturally big differences. Culturally big differences. And I mean, it's not only for that, it's a lifelong benefit. You, culture system that you are in, within that system has a respect from teachers to student, and that tremendously, you know, infect their life. You know, I mean, you can see that. When I take a student in India, they can feel it, that students, every single those monks are surrounding. Nobody has this concept of the strangeness. This person's a stranger. This, you know, black and white or Eastern or Western, don't have that concept. Mm-hmm. Everybody sees that's just like me, you know, treating them in a kind, welcoming. They, and that's going to not only for monks in general level, public people, they are very much that, I say, you know, they're kind. Benefit. Majority, my they don't see that way, don't feel that way. That's, you don't see that until you go out, until you go outside. You know, I mean, when we are leaving monastery, you know, majority of my students are tears come in their eyes, they don't want to go because of the how they're welcoming, sweet, respect. You know, you don't get those kind of things anywhere you go. Get that, you know. Tibetan has this, like I said, you know, Buddhism arrived in Tibet, is highly advanced with the altruism, compassion, love, in particular Tibetan Buddhism. You don't get that feeling going down to, you know, in other nation, in other places. Might you build some welcome level, but you don't have this deep down, you really, you know, you touch, you know, benefit. You don't have that. So that kind of reason, even I'm exhausted, I'm telling students in India for that reason. Mm. I'm exhausting myself physically, emotionally, financially. But it's okay. It's a word. It's a word for that. It's a word for that. That's what I mean. Any questions?
Well, there was one mention, there was a little discussion in the book, and I can't remember where they were talking about one person who had many teachers and one person who only had one teacher. And
that doesn't make a lot of differences.
Yeah, they sort of...
It depends on how you can... Like Adisha, in the department, he was the root textbook of this Lamrim.
Mm-hmm.
He has over 100 teachers.
Okay.
And as long as you can keep up your mind without, you know, without criticizing, without that.
Okay.
Also, then you have 100 teachers, you have 3 teachers, you have 5 teachers. You consider who is your root teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Then you this who one that was much more beneficial to you. That's called a root teacher.
Okay.
Much more beneficial to you. You know, I mean, you have a, you know, teachers coming in and out, many teachers you happen to receive teachings, but which one is a much more benefit for you, much more, you know, often, and even Adisha, Devamkara Shirijana, he has over 100 teachers, and anytime someone mentioned about a ceiling bar, he put hands over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And then student asks, why you have a lot of teachers? Why is the ceiling bar is the immediately someone says ceiling bar, you put your hands on your head. Well, you're respectful beyond than any other teacher. He says, I have a little bit chosen because of the ceiling bar.
Mm-hmm.
I have chosen compassion that I have a little bit because of the kindness for myself. That's the, what to mean by that, you know.
And does that signify putting his teacher?
Respect,
yeah.
Crown, okay. Behind me, yeah. Like I said, you know, when Dalai Lama was here, he asked me, who's your teacher? I said, Holiness, yeah, this and that person is my teacher. Immediately, Holiness put hands on this.
Mm.
Then that many people have those kind of teachers.
Mm.
You are very fortunate. Not many people have those kind of teachers. You are very fortunate. So it's, you know, and that's totally different. And big difference. I mean, this make a huge difference in what the fundamentally, what is the Tibetan Buddhism? This is the mega and fundamental difference. Even the Buddha, within Buddhism, and then nothing like other Buddhist nation, like Tibetan Buddhism does, comes down to this level, the teacher, the guru. You know, even within among the Buddhism, you don't have that. Within even the mount of Buddhism, Buddhist practitioner don't have this truly compassionate culture, you don't have that. I remember one time I was, you know, staying on a Vietnamese house. His Buddhist, you know, family. I stayed with their houses, they invited me dinner. They got 12 fish tanks. And then each fish goes to the each fish tank for food for each fish. And you don't see that in Tibetan Buddhism. You don't see that Tibetan people don't do that, no. You don't have those kind of concepts. You don't see that kind of things. Of course, lifestyle, sometimes they have to kill yaks to, you know, butchering yaks to pigs to, you know, kill it. But that's the only survival issue and last choices. Still, doesn't mean disrespect or consider it as the, consuming consumption, you know, not don't have that concept. We are, you know, consuming that we can consume. We don't have that, you know, parrot or prayer. Don't have that concept. Don't have that concept at all. Even that you have a livestock to eat, you don't have that concept. In world that we're living in, they have, we have that concept. We have that concept. We don't have that concept in Tibetan Buddhism. And that's the next big difference, like I said, you know. Fundamentally, Tibetan Buddhism is richer, not just for the academically, philosophy rich, also altruism, you know, compassion, you know, good heart. That's the makes a huge differences. Huge differences. I like that one time we interview with the lady who she is chair of the human she is chair of Dharamsala, she is chair of
Center for Democracy
and
Human Rights. Center for Democracy and Human Rights.
Yeah, human rights. Yeah. Student asked her, what are your opinions about it? A lot of young kids are angry and hate taught or Chinese, you know, they're looking thinking but independent and not don't want to follow middle paths, etc. She says that's the their political point of view. If you stay with that person just a couple of days, this person what you see is angry, you know, seeking for independent. This person hesitant to give what even one simple bucks. That's the I like it. I like about it, you know. Really, that's the Tibetan that implies big difference in Tibetan versus non-Tibetan. She said that. Remember that one? She said that to us. And that's the remarkable. I mean, she can, that's a good answer. Incredible good answer for that. You know, incredible good answer. That's the, what she's saying is, that's the political, you know, political view. Beyond that come down to, you know, matters to the religion concept of the who they are as a compassionate person. You know, compassionate person. Okay. Any questions? I think we're going to move on to meditation next section. Next classes, that'd be better. They can start afresh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this one is kind of like a last one big chunk is finished. And then first, you know, outline. And meditation would go probably. Any more questions? As you have questions?
Oh, plenty of questions.
Okay, Leah.
So there's a story in the Democrat Gazette a week or so ago about the Buddhist-Muslim violence in Burma. And since that was published, many of my friends have come to me like, oh, well, if Buddhism is such a peaceful religion, then how come they're like killing all of these Muslims? And I know how I've responded to that, but I was wondering how you...
I don't know. I mean, recently, you know, someone bombed Dalai Lama,
mm-hmm.
And then someone asked the Dalai Lama, Dalai Lama says, it's not a big deal. He says, it's not a big deal. That's the how, you know, and response. I think, you know, and they're looking for whoever they want to do the bombing, whatever you call, they are looking for tension. United States, we make a huge tension because that's what they wanted. Mm-hmm. You don't give it the tension was what they wanted, it just dies down.
Hmm. Well, what's been happening in Burma, though, is that
the political movement.
Yeah. There was monks who actually burned the village and killed all of these Muslims while they were praying. And the monks were cheering every time one of the Muslims would be slaughtered. And there's like a lot of like tensions, not just between political over there, but also like religious violence, where the Buddhists are actually the ones perpetrating the violence against the Muslims. And
Muslim has a very bad reputation in the Asian world. I mean, worse than in America. I mean, but within that kind of tension, they're living with Sabah, the respect. But at the same time, deep down, look at a lot of Asian world, like I used to call Burma, a lot of Asian countries now become Muslim, you know. That's their fear. That's their fear. Mm-hmm. Lead by fear, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Sri Lanka is 95% is Buddhism, and maybe 5-10% is Hindu. Then they are maybe very small majority of the Muslim. But I can see that, you know, that kind of thing, you know, lead by fear, you know. I mean, that's what I can see. And I don't know. Beyond that, like I say, you know, Buddhism and Buddhist practitioners are different.
Yeah, are they real Buddhists if they're...
It's a practitioner's problem, not Buddhism problem.
and it's not
really
it's not disparaging somebody else's beliefs then to point out, that doesn't actually follow the teachings. That's not, you're not like,
yeah, that's an individual
putting those
thing.
People down by explaining
one,
the differences.
One of Christians does a bad thing doesn't mean Christian is bad, doesn't mean that. Means this person, you know, blame to the person, not blame to the religion. That's the people watching Kara Buddha. You know, we don't want a Kara Buddha. You know, I don't like Buddhism because this guy did this and that. What's got to do with that Buddhism? You know, have nothing to do with it.
Well, it's mostly a different sect of Buddhism anyway.
It's a different sect of Buddhism, but yet it should be the power, least not to harm other living beings. And beyond that, like I said, a lot of these things involve politics.
And power.
In a power, politics, politics, power, fear, got into your mind.
Mm.
You can do all those things. China is killing a lot of Tibetan people. I mean, yesterday I talked about it, you know. The Tibetans beat it. Okay, one monk was blew out his head this much. I mean, those things are fear. Fear of that, you know, completely turn around from their political system.
Mm-hmm.
And the power. That's it is, same way, you know, everywhere. And, you know, that's the, you know, one thing, you know, and people often caught up with it. Any questions? Leah, questions? Ali, questions? Celeste, have questions? You don't have questions. You dumb kids. So anyway, we enjoy India. let me stop here.
It is solely from the kindness of my teachers that I have met with the peerless Buddhist instructions. Thus I dedicate this merit so that every sentient being may be cherished by the precious gurus. By this merit may I quickly attain the state of the Guru Buddha, and may I lead into that state every being without exception. May the bodhicitta, the precious mind, not yet born, be born anew. May that born have no decline, but grow ever stronger. May all mother sentient beings attain joy. May the lower realms of suffering be emptied. May the prayers of all bodhisattvas, whosoever resides wherever, be completely fulfilled. In the heavenly realm of Tibet, surrounded by a chain of snow mountains, the source of all happiness and help for beings, is Tenzin Gyatso, Chinrezi in person. May his life be secure for hundreds of couples.
Jan Jose Jordan Bojama, Jabana, 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 Jabana